Good morning. The Bible reading this morning is from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, g'day folks, and this sermon today is it's one of my holiday series. And when I go away on holidays, because I know most people who visit your church don't normally preach on a psalm, so I use psalms to preach on while people are on holiday so that there's no chance that I'm going to use the same passage as them. Anyway, we're doing Psalm 27 today. And at first reading, it could be just this innocuous, here's another psalm, there's bad people doing bad things to me, help me God, let me come out the other side, hear my prayer. So there's so many psalms that sound like that. But I think that sometimes we as Christians miss the beautiful nuances in each one of these psalms as they've been written in Hebrew, and also some of the different flavours and threads that are absolutely washing through them constantly and just helping us. This is King David's psalm. It would be easy to look at it and just bounce over it and say, just like a lot of other psalms, or say, what if it's King David or a son of Korah or, you know, whoever's writing it. Well, the basic theme of God, you are my salvation, and there are bad people who want to hurt me, deliver me, breaks through time and time and time again. However, this one is a little bit different, and I'm going to tell you why. See, around about the 17th century, this psalm became a psalm that would be read every day during just before Yom Kippur. And you might sit there and go, what's Yom Kippur? Is that some type of fish from overseas? No, it's a Jewish festival. It's the Yom Kippur is the period from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Hoshana Rabbah, which is these two kind of, it's 51 days. And it finishes the week of Yom Kippur. And it's a bit like our time of Lent, and it's spent in a time of preparation. So as they prepare for Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, these 51 days as they head towards it, this psalm is read every single morning after the blowing of the shofar or the horn. So they get up, they blow the shofar, they read this psalm, and this becomes a meditative psalm for the period of Yom Kippur. So why does David write this psalm, and what's in it for us today? Well, David lived in much turmoil as a king. We seem to think that he didn't, but he was at war quite a bit. Solomon had a lot more peaceful times. Saul had a lot more wars, but also had to bring the nation together. But David, it wasn't always peaceful for him. And so there was a lot of wartime, not much peace with the surrounding nations. And it's thought that this psalm is his cry to have time of for spiritual and physical rest, so he can actually just focus on the spiritual things of life. It's a cry out to say, God, I'm so busy doing all the stuff that's going on around me in society. I'm so distracted by the things of this world. I just need time with you. Maybe that's why this is the perfect psalm to be read as a meditation as we head into Yom Kippur for the Jewish people. I think it's wonderful, and maybe it's that cry out that we need to do, and maybe in Lent or whatever it is, well, this is a psalm that you could read every day. David knows that God is going to protect him. He doesn't have an issue with that. Protection is not the concern, but the relationship and the time with God is. I don't know whether that's the same for us in today's society. I think some of us are more worried about, is God going to protect me from COVID, or is God going to protect me from this or that? And I think that there's a lot of tensions in there, and there's a lot of distractions in our lives today. And so when we come to this psalm and having a concern for, is our relationship with God right? Is the time we're spending with God enough? I think is a really good question to be asking. The distractions of this life are many, and for David, he wanted respite and renewal in the Lord's presence. And you know what? Missing out on going to church as we have been, that is something that I crave, is coming along to church on a Sunday or during the week, whether it's a Friday communion or coffee and chat, and just hanging out with brothers and sisters. And it's a time of renewal and respite as we hang out with God together. So, as the Jews today use this as a daily devotion for 51 days, maybe it too reminds us to seek time with God each day and a time of refreshment and renewal each day. What do we call that? A daily devotion. Indeed we do. So what's interesting in the psalm? Well, the section where David says he wants to dwell or live in the house of the Lord is really kind of a very interesting phraseology. To do so is to do more than what the priests or the Levites would do. In fact, to say that he wants to dwell in there or live in there, not even the priests and the Levites did that. So it's actually saying that he wants to separate from what he's doing in society and have little or no connection to what's going on in society and just focus on God and God alone. And David knows this is not practical, and so we need to look at how the Jewish scholar may have interpreted this, and not just us as Protestants. I keep saying, so often when we read the Old Testament, we as Christians read it and we go, oh, look what it might be saying here. But we've got on these glasses called the Christianity interpretive glasses, whereas the Old Testament was written for Jewish people and under the Old Testament covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. I've got at home a book of Pentateuch and Half Torahs, which is like a lectionary readings, but it's also got a commentary attached. And it's interesting to see how a Hebrew scholar interprets some of the passages that we might interpret and how they read through them and how they put the surroundings to it. That I sit there sometimes and go, hold on a second, and then I've got to remember, they're writing without the Messiah having come. When we read it, we're on the other side of Jesus, and we see Jesus as the Messiah. So, where God is, there is peace and goodness. Amen. Where God is, there is peace and goodness. And this is something that's really good. This expression, therefore, comes to say that if we sanctify our lives, then every single place becomes Beit Hashem, the house of the Lord. Beit House, Hashem the Lord. And so wherever we are, if we've sanctified our lives, then all of a sudden God is there in the presence of that. In every place where God's Torah or God's word is being observed with strength and purity, then our earthly life becomes a chariot of God's presence. And God has a place to dwell on this earth and to be with us as we go through this earth in life. And it's a beautiful image that is kind of given by some of the Hebrew scholars about God is in this chariot of life with us. To live in community is to live with God. First and foremost, God creates us to be in community not only with him, but with each other from the beginning of time to the end of time. The psalm calls for us to turn our homes, our churches, our workplaces, our leisure places into places of the Lord, Beit Hashem, by sanctifying them with our connection and relationship to God and to each other. So we are the bearers of God's love in the world in all that we do. And what have I said for the last couple of weeks? We're Christ's ambassadors. We're God's ambassadors here on earth. We are the representative of the Lord Most High here on earth. We're his living, breathing, Holy Spirit-filled person being used to minister and to take the gospel forward, because he said, I'm picking you to be my ambassador. As soon as we said, I yield my life to you, he goes, hey, welcome aboard. You're now part of the family and you're one of my ambassadors. You're empowered with the Holy Spirit and you're sent forth. Oh, it's such a good thing, isn't it? Oh, but back to the Psalm, I was getting carried away in my New Testament theology. So back to these Jewish traditions. As they head to Yom Kippur, their sacred day of atonement and forgiveness, they're reminded of God's precious love and connection to them. Yes, they are. This in turn reminds them to be the bearers of God to the world, helping to bring people back to God, to seek his face and be atoned for their sin, to be forgiven of their sin. This is a beautiful image, and this is how we see the Old Testament interacting with the Abrahamic covenant and the Jewish people in how they relate to God and seek forgiveness. And you know, David even mentions in some of the other Psalms, it's not about sacrifices. You don't want to sacrifice God. You just want a contrite heart. God wants a relationship. He wants the contrite heart even today. Verses 13 and 14, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. You know, I just love the goodness that's in there. You know, I see the goodness of the Lord. And I've been, as many of you have, I've been really stirred by the song, The Goodness of God, over the last 12 months as it's come into our worship life. It's come into my playlists and everything else. And it says this song, it's a contemporary song, but it's just got beautiful words. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you've been so, so good. With every breath that I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And it goes on, I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend. And I've lived in the goodness of God. There's a refrain in the song. And the first time I heard it, I thought, oh, that's a bit strange. Is it theologically okay? And the more I've looked at it, I've thought, yeah, actually, there's some good stuff in this. Because it says, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything because your goodness is running after me. You know, God's goodness is running after us, isn't it? The forgiveness, the mercy and grace is running after us constantly. And it just wants to grab hold of us and say, do you know that God loves you? Do you know that he's merciful to you? He sent Jesus to be your saviour and redeemer. And it's just a beautiful thing. God's forgiveness, mercy and grace is running after each one of us, brothers and sisters. Why? Well, what does the song say in its chorus? All my life you have been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. And with every breath that I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Beautiful, beautiful song, beautiful hymn, modern hymn for today's world, hey? Amen. Now, as Protestants and as Christians, we look at this Jewish classic of a psalm. And so often we as Christians and as Protestants in particular, we look at some of these Jewish scriptures through the eyes of redemption, through the eyes of Christ. And as I mentioned that at the beginning, and so make sure when we're reading through this that you don't sit there and try and Christianize this too much. Look at the beauty of what the psalm is on. See, none of these were written for Christians at the time. They were written for the Jewish people. So when we take Christian theology and try and work out the theology of the Old Testament, and sometimes the Psalms, it sometimes doesn't really work that well. It doesn't fit in that well. It's like trying to put your right foot into a left shoe. It kind of has the right looks about it, but it just doesn't fit on your foot well at all, if at all it does. And so each one of these Psalms has a special reason, a special purpose for being in the Book of Psalms. Now, I know the book of the month this month is Psalms 1 to 41. It's the first book of Psalms, well, actually 43 to 41 is the first book. Psalms 1 and 2 are the intro psalms. So if you're reading along with our church Bible reading, you've got 41 psalms, and this one is a cracker right in the middle of it. Should almost be today's psalm if you're really lucky. So this week, brothers and sisters, I pray that you may find time and space for a refreshment and renewal with God. Maybe these psalms that you get to read every day is a time of just refreshment and renewal with God. Maybe when you finish each one, maybe just thank God for three things in your life that he's done for you. Three things every day. And you know what? It's refreshing, it's renewal, it's spending time with our King and our Creator. I pray that this leads you to be better connected, not only with God, but to the community that surrounds you. See, God didn't create us to just be in relationship with Him. He created us to be in relationship with the community that surrounds us. And I pray that in doing so, it will help people as they seek to find God's face and atonement through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Brothers and sisters, thank you for sharing in this wonderful psalm with me. Have a blessed week.